it's great to be here. So great to be here. What an honor it is to be in this amazing church. And I get to travel some now and get to be with some neat churches, churches that are starting, churches that are at different places, and just spending time with your pastors the last couple of days. I've known Aaron for about 10 years, probably a little longer than that, and Amanda, and then being with the leadership team, some of the elders last night. I can just say this is one of the healthiest environments I've been in a long time. You're doing well. Great church, great leadership, genuine, authentic, the real deal. And so it is an honor for our family, and our family has been here. We did something we've never done before. We decided to take a vacation for Christmas. The kids are older now, so we have a 22-year-old daughter. She's a senior at LSU, and then my son is going to school down in Florida playing football, and then our baby is 15 years old, Isabella. When you're an Italian, you got to name one Isabella. It's just part of the deal. And so So we took a vacation. So we've been together 11 days, and so they're headed to the airport, and I'll catch up with them later on today. And just had a fan. Our highlight was being here on the West Coast. We've been here for about a week, and I was raised on the coast, but it was the East Coast, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and then being in Louisiana. I pastored in Baton Rouge for about 23 years down there in the Dirty South, because it is the Dirty South. And now I'm in Birmingham, so I am a Southern Italian, if you can figure that out, who married an Cajun. It has been an honor to be here, and just love your pastors, just the real deal. As long as I've known Pastor Aaron, loves people. He and his wife love God. They love you. They love others. And I don't think you could ask for anything greater than that of a pastor who loves God, loves you, and just wants to serve, make a difference. And so you've got good leadership. You're in a safe place. So why don't you clap your hands for your pastors? They're doing a great job. We are proud, proud, proud. I had some buddies texting me and emailing me all week about us being here, and just so many people are so proud of this church. And the churches that we do, I get to help plant churches now. So in the last 15 years, I've been a part of this organization and now lead it for the last 3 years. We planted in the last 15 years 534 churches. This past year, we planted 74 churches this past year. Of those 74 churches, on the day they start, they're launched, we call it Launch Sunday. Those 74 churches that started, 900 people on their launch Sunday received Christ in those 74 churches. So it's a great way to reach people, and so we're tracking along with churches at all stages and all phases. And I wish I could say that all of them were as healthy as you are, and moving along, and have the leadership team and the wisdom that Pastor Aaron has surrounded himself with. So what's happened is now this becomes a model church for us. And when we have young couples that come to us and want to plant a church and have a dream in their heart, want to make a difference in the community, we refer them to churches like this where they can come and they can learn and they can watch and they can see it firsthand. So thank you for being a church that's willing to give. All those churches that are being planted, you're a part of that because of your giving, the faithfulness of tithe and offerings, and your generosity. You're an outreach-driven church. You're a church that believes in others. So one of those things you do is you help plant great churches. And so we'll plant, right now we're scheduled to plant about 38 churches in the spring and about 40-something in the fall. Maybe one of our largest years to plant churches this next year, about 90 churches is what we're hoping for. And so it's going to be a good year. And the reason why we can do it is because of churches like this who have a heart for others. So thanks for being a generous church. Thank you for caring about other people. And thanks for just being fantastic. We've had a great time. It is a good time of the year. I love these first Sundays out of the gate. Just makes me want to think through and process. And I love the idea. We do this also serve at Church of the Highlands there in Birmingham with Pastor Chris Hodges, a great church like this church, growing, multiple services, putting people everywhere, and reaching kids and making a difference on campuses. And so we start out also with 21 days of prayer and fasting, seeking God, leaning into God. And when I do that, I always ask the Lord, just in the way that I process, you know, Lord, as I seek you, as I lean into you, as we as a family try to, you know, understand what you're doing as a church, we want to hear your voice because we want to know what you want us to do. We want to become everything you want us to be in this community. We do outreach like you do here. And one of the things I always ask is for the Lord to give me a promise. Lord, I want a promise for thee. I want just a promise we can hold to. And I want to share for a few minutes out of the book of Mark where Jesus gives the disciples a challenge, but then also follows it up with a promise. And I think it's a promise that we can make our own. So let's pray about that, Father. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this awesome church. And God, what an honor it is to be at Coastline, Lord. We thank you for our pastors. And Lord, we're blessed, God, that to be in a safe place, Lord. A house, Lord, of integrity, house of leadership, house of generosity. So, Lord, just continue to do something, say something to us today, God. Lord, thank you, Father, that you care about people. You're speaking to people, Lord. It's not by accident that we're here. We're here because you want to say something to us. So, Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, and everybody said a good amen. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you made it to church today. Come on, look at the other person that was your second choice and tell them, you look like you could use a little church, my friend. It's always a second choice. I love promise verses, and I call them also hinge verses. Small verses that swing big doors. And the ones I want to share with you, I believe, are small. It's not a lot of scripture, but it's powerful enough to swing a big door in our life. And I love the teaching where Jesus, in Mark chapter 1, it's where he's building his team, Mark chapter 1, because what I want to talk about is the whole idea of how God will make us, that God will make us. God is going to help us to become everything he wants us to do. So he gives us a promise that I will make you. And we find it here in Mark chapter 1, verse 16. It says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. I love verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me. So he calls them. He gives them a challenge. Come after me. Lean into me. Look to me. Follow my way. Come my way. And if you'll do that, then I'm going to give you back a promise. If you'll accept the challenge, if you'll accept the call, then I'm going to follow up your challenge and your obedience and you looking to me. I'm going to follow it up with a promise. And the promise is I will make you. I will make you to become. And he tells them, I'm going to make you to become fishers of men. And they responded well. It says, straightway, they left their nets and they followed him. It goes on down in verse 19 to 20, and it repeats the same situation with another group of fishermen, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They're in their boat, and they're fishing, and they're mending their nets. And Jesus in verse 20 says, straightway, he called them also, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the ship, and the hired servants. And I love this, and they went after him. Best response is when God gives you an invitation, when Jesus invites us to come to know him or know him through reading the word or know him through prayer or know him through small groups or know him through some other intimate way where we can get to know the Lord, where we lean into him and we learn what he has for us and we learn the life that he intends for us and we learn the ways that he wants us and we learn his will. It's amazing that he says, I'll give you a promise. If you're doing that, then I'm going to make you to become something. That as you're seeking me, as you're coming after me, as you go after me, something's going to happen. There's going to be things that take place as you pursue me. I'm going to make you along the way, which I think is an incredible promise. There's another one, and it's a little bit shorter. It's in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19, and I think this is a great bookend. A couple verses that go right along with that promise. Isaiah says this, remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? Watch this. I will even make a way in the wilderness. I will make you to become, and I will also make a way in the wilderness. God is a God that loves to make things. God is a God that loves to make things fashion and form and make us in areas. God loves taking things that are in one situation, and he loves taking something from point A to point B. He loves along the way things happening in our life. God is making us, and the promise that I'm believing for Coastline, and the promise that I'm believing for in our life is that, Lord, in 2016, I want you to make me what you want me to be. I want to become everything that you want me to be. I want to live the life for our family. I want to have the marriage. I want to be the parent. I want to be the friend. I want to be the person who cares about others and cares about the poor and notices other people. And I want to do it the way that you intended for me to do. I want to live the life that you intended, not just the life that I intended, not the life that other people have intended for me, but I want to live the life that you intended for me. And as I live that life, as I seek you through prayer and fasting, as I commit to that, then Lord, make me do, fashion me, form me, change me in my life. Even make a way in the wilderness. Even where things seem impossible. Even when things seem like they're not going to happen. Lord, you can do this. You can make me. There's something happening in the making of God. I guess a couple years ago, I surrendered the leadership of the TV remote control in our home. I retained about 20% rights to it right now. I have retention agreement with my wife and my daughters. My son's off at school, so he's not around much. And so our television has two channels now. It's the home channel, the home repair. We're flipping and flopping. Come on, somebody. We're selling stuff. I'm really doing a make. I make over a bathroom every day in my mind. I'm redoing the shower right now. Any moment now. And so we're always remodeling. We're remaking things. I'm tearing up the backyard. I'm doing so. And the other channel is the cooking channel. We're chopping. I mean, it's all about the chop. It's about Iron Chef. It's all about these kind of things. And so our favorite show, if my wife was here, she'd tell you, is The Pioneer Woman, which is, I can't believe I'm saying that. But I'm even into it. I get home and say, is The Pioneer Woman on? Okay. And so it comes on about that time when I get home around our house. And so it's always on. We DVR it. We don't miss any of them. I mean, I know that family well. And it's amazing how that, if you've never watched it, how it works is the Pioneer Woman is a lady and her family. They got like 400 kids. They live out in a ranch in Oklahoma. They own a bunch of land. And they always start the show off the same way. And she's like, hey, how you doing? Our kids are out branding cattle and we're building fences and we're building a barn. Our five-year-old's building a barn. It's just awesome. So the kids are out there with like power tools and moving tractors and bulls and things like that. And so there's a welcome on the farm, and then she announces what she's making because they're going to be hungry, those little wrestlers, and they're going to come on in here. And so she announces it, and it's like, you know, like it's like brisket sliders or something. And so she makes that announcement. They show the menu up. And so that's the start. And normally it's just a couple minutes. The beginning is just an intention. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what we're doing today. And then it ends with the finished product, where, you know, it shows the kids kind of run in there with the little cowboy boots. He's got a couple daughters and a couple kids. They run in there, and the husband comes up, how you doing? And you know, they got cow manure all over them. It's awesome. And then there's the food, and they scarf it down. It's over. So I was watching it one day. I thought, wow, just a minute or two at the beginning, just a minute or two at the end. Most of the content and most of the show is in the middle. Because that's where the making is. She doesn't spend her whole time just telling you what she's going to do. She doesn't spend 20 minutes telling you about the, you know, chicken tortillas that she's making. She just announces that. The power of the program is in what? The process. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I was preaching Southern just then. Did you feel me get a little Southern on you right there? Anybody feel a little Southern coming out of me just then? It happens. I was preaching down in South Louisiana last week, and I was like, yeah, come on, ha, ha, ha. It's part of the deal. West Coast. So the bulk of the programming is in the process. It's the textures. It's the temperatures. It's the steps. It's the chopping and the coming together of what? Ingredients. It's the mixing. It's the putting in the refrigerator. It's putting in the freezer. It's setting aside. You know what I found out? That's life. That's how life works. That's how God works. That's how marriage works. That's how parenting works. That's how building a business works. That's how making a difference in education. That's our vocation. That's our raising kids. That's the promise of God. That's the purpose of God. Sometimes we get this moment where we get a promise and we come to 21 days of prayer and fasting and God gives us an idea or God gives us a thought or some type of a vision for our life, our marriage, our future. As a single mom, as a blended family, we get a purpose in our life, and we, wow, that's amazing. I feel like God's going to do that. There's hope now. And sometimes in life, we get an ending. We see God do what he says he's going to do. There's a reward. There's a moment. There's something we've been believing for. There's something we've been hoping for. And we see it come to pass. But can I tell you something? Most of our life is spent in the middle. Most of it is in the making. God is making us. God is doing something as we believe. Why? Because there's power along the way. And there's promise along the way of our life. God works that way throughout our life. It's in the making that these things happen. So true of God. I believe he does this so many different ways. See, in 2015, I could promise for each of us, there was some making that took place. God made some things. God fashioned some things. If you look back over the last year, if you look back over the last 12 months, I'm sure there were some things that you got a hold of that you were believing for, and there were some ideas, and there was a promise, and there was a few things that started. Maybe there were some things that were completed, but I can tell you the bulk of the year, the bulk of your life, the bulk of the journey was in the middle. It was in the process. And God did some making in 2015. Guess what? He's going to do some making in 2016. People always ask me, what do you think is going to happen next year? What's going to happen? Life's going to happen. Process is going to happen. We're going to become something. That's what's going to happen. God's going to do some work in us. He's going to work on us. He's going to work through us. There's a lot of things that's going to happen, and a lot of it's going to happen in the middle. It's in the middle that God does these works, so much of it. I wrote down some things about this. I wrote down five things, and I want to give it to you just to give you some application today before we finish up. And I believe there's some ways he does this, and I wrote down five. Here's the first one. I think God uses patience. Oh, how many knows that's like a dirty word in life sometimes? It's just like, okay, brother's cussing on stage. Brother just said a curse word. Patience. If pause for a moment and think about how patient God has been with you. You want to get blessed in your life. You want to get out of the muck. You want to get out of the depression. You want to get out of the defeat. You want to move past the past. You want to get up out of that cloud that dark cloud that's over your life. Take a moment and just let it marinate. I'm from the South. We marinate everything. We'll marinate a donut. Come on, you know, we'll marinate donut. We marinate everything. Let it marinate for a moment about how patient God has been with you in your life. Probably a few of us, sometimes we haven't acted right, haven't said the right things, haven't responded well, overreacted, said things, done things, had moments where we doubted and we wanted to give up and but think about how patient God has been with you. Guess what? God's going to be patient with you in 2016. And it's not hard for God to be patient. He doesn't have to get up and say, okay, boy, okay, let me go down there and work with those people. Y'all pray for me. I'll be back in a little bit. Got to work with these people. He is patient. I believe it's one of the greatest attributes of God that we tend to forget is the patience of God. Don't you love patient people? I love being around people that are like, it's good. It's okay. You'd be late, you know, trying to meet somebody for coffee, and you're late. You're 15, 20 minutes late. You run in there. Don't you like the person who's like, where you been? What happened? I've got a schedule too. I have a life. My time matters to me. Sit down. Wow, I really want to share my heart now with you. It's awesome. You know, don't you love the person when you run in and you're like, I'm so sorry, I was late. There was a traffic jam. There was like a tornado. There was giraffes in the road. I mean, and they're like, it's okay. It's good. Sit down. Really, I'm so sorry. Don't talk about it. How you doing? Thank you. Don't you love patient people? It's amazing how life flows when there's a patient in our life, when we embrace the patience of God, and then we respond that way towards other people. And we let God respond that way to let God embrace the patience of God this year.
Be patient in God. God's working. You may not be seeing it. Not everything's happening on our timeline, but can I tell you something? God's working. Be patient. As God is being patient with you, be patient with the process. The other day, my wife gave me a list, and my wife is a perfectionist. I mean, she's all about a list. She gives me a list with a sentence. Let me tell you something, guys. That's for real. She says, here's what I want you to do, and then she gives me a sentence. It's like a thesis for Saturday. And so she gives me a list with like a statement or two and then gives me instructions. I mean, to the detail, it's total control. It's awesome. She just loves a to-do list. It's her world. Her love language is a to-do list. And so one Saturday, she gave me, just a couple months ago, she gave me a to-do list. I was tired. I'd been traveling. And you know, it was like eight things. And I did like half of one. And so she came in, and I heard her coming upstairs from the carport. I just went and grabbed a light bulb. So when she walked in, I was like, hey. Hey, baby. She looked at the list. She said, you didn't check them off. Did you check them off mentally? I didn't get to him, baby. I'm so sorry. She's like, what did you do? I said, well, I had a nap I needed to tend to, and there was some sausage that needed to be handled. And she looked at me, and she said, it's okay, baby. You've worked hard this week. You deserved a nap. I love you. Do you need a new ring? What do you want to do? You know, the patience of God. Listen, in 2016, God will be patient with you. Worship him as you wait on him. Here's the second thing I wrote down about how God works, and one of the ways he makes us to become what he wants us to be is through prayer. Through prayer. It's one thing that you cannot substitute. Nobody can pray in your place. Of course, they can intercede for you and they can pray for you, but no one really can take your place of prayer. It's just something that cannot be substituted in our life. It's prayer. Isn't it interesting how you see things differently through the lens of prayer? You can be standing up angry about something, mad about something. Then you go to your knees and something you're so upset about. On your knees, you see things totally different. Prayer gives you a lens that's different. Prayer gives you a different perspective. Prayer will put things in context. Prayer will put things in order. Prayer will just position you in a better place. Oh, I just encourage you in 2016, one of the ways that God will make us to become as a church and make us to become as individuals is as we let him do it through prayer. What a positive, I can't say it enough. Thank God for a pastor in a church that says, let's give the first of our year. Let's be God first people. We're going to do it through prayer. We're going to put him first at the very beginning of our year. The bulk of our first month is going to be given to prayer. But I think that honors God. Here's the third thing that I wrote down that I've seen this in my own life, that one of the ways that God makes us is the word pain. We weren't expecting that, were we? But is it not the truth? How many times have we been through things? Not all pain comes from God. We know that Romans 8:28 is true, that not all things are good, but God works things for the good. Not all things that we enjoy, not all things are we glad that we experience and we walk through. But it's amazing that when we lean into God and we come after him, how God will even take our painful season and will extract purpose from them. We could find purpose in our pain. If we don't get bitter, if we don't let anger get the best of us, if we don't turn against God, but we turn to him, that pain can teach us something. I wrote this down in my journal the other day, that normally what's revealed in pain is a life lesson. It's amazing how pain is a great revealer. It'll tell you things about yourself. You'll see things about relationships. You'll find out things about friendships. You'll find out things about others. Isn't it interesting if you go through a season of pain, how people step up that you never thought were going to step up, and some people walk out that you didn't think were going to walk out? Can I have a good amen? Pain reveals those things. And so even in pain, God shows us things. God teaches us things. God, we become some things in the furnace of pain that we will not become in the pleasures of life. That's just one of the ways that God does things, is through those things. I don't know how many times I have been through pain, and when I went through it, I couldn't stand it. I hated it. I didn't like this season. I don't like these moments. I don't like what's happening with my kids. I don't like what's happening in my life. And you don't like being in it, but isn't it interesting how you can get 12 months past it and all of a sudden you're in a conversation with a friend or a coworker or someone you're on your campus and you begin to tell them what? The prize that you extracted from your pain, and it begins to help them. As they begin to tell you their suffering and their struggle and what they're going through, you say, oh, let me tell you what I learned. Let me tell you what I went through. Isn't it interesting? Something that was so uncomfortable now becomes something that what? Comforts others. It happens. Here's the fourth thing that I have found out that God uses to make us to become what he wants us to be, and that is the word progress. I like that word progress. Because I think you're doing better than you think you are. I think God loves you more than you think he does. I think God wants to bless you more than you think he does. I think sometimes we're too hard on ourselves. And we're hard on ourselves, we're hard on other people. You know, in 2015, some of you made great progress in God. Hey, you learned some things. You made some decisions. There were some things you let go. There were some things that you put behind you. There were some things you looked forward to. God, thank God for progress. God makes us as we take steps. In him, when I was growing up, I had a speech problem. And so about 5-6 years old, they identified it, and I had certain trouble with certain words and couldn't pronounce. And then I stuttered, would get caught, get stuck. And so first, second grade, they sent me from the school that I was in. They sent me to another school, and I could remember some of it. And they put me in resource. Back in those days, there was not like a lot of sensitivity. They just said, you're in resource. And like get up on homeroom and just, you know, hey, okay, today we're eating fish sticks and pizza. And get those resource kids down here. God help them all. I mean, it was no sensitivity. It was no kindness at all. Come on, baby. It's the early 70s. I'm old. And, you know, so get the resource kids down here. You'd go. So I spent till about 8th or 9th grade, till I was in high school, I was in a resource for speech therapy. Two things I remember. I remember how kind those resource teachers were. God used those precious ladies in my life. They would just, even though you would sound like you were saying the word the same way for 6 months, they would find something to identify as progress. They just were like princes of progress. And I can remember they would send, and what I loved about it is in normal school, you get a progress report or a report card like every 9 weeks. In resource, we got a progress report every Friday. I'd get that thing. I'd go home, and my mother would be like, oh, wow, son, you said this word a little different today. And the teacher said you paid attention 2 days this week. Last week it was none. It's awesome. Yes. What was my mother trying to do? She was trying to let me know you're doing better than you think you could. You're doing better than you think you are. A little bit of progress. Hey, let me encourage you. 2016, you're going to make some progress. You're going to become even more like Jesus if you'll let him. Coastline will make progress together. And then the last thing that I think God uses to make us is people. Just people. Isn't it amazing, God, the people that God puts in our life? God uses people to remind us of our blessing. God uses people to remind us that there is a greater cause and that people matter to God. That sometimes life is not about me, myself, and I. That life is about others. Lord, you have blessed me to be a blessing. You've invaded my life so that I can notice other people. You've helped me. Why? So I can help others. You've helped me to take my eyes off of my problems and maybe put my eyes off of somebody else's problems. The other day, my wife announced to me we'd been at prayer on a Saturday morning like you do here, Pastor Aaron. And we went to prayer and we were fired up. And I came home and my daughters were all at home. And my wife announced to me that I was taking them shopping. I was like, okay, I've been at prayer. Amen. And she took me to a store that is the devil. It's called Forever 21. There's 15 million pieces of clothes in that store. I don't know if you've ever been in there. And there's a zillion pieces of clothes for $2.99. And there's 5 million people in there. And they're shopping. And there's a lot of fabric smells and a lot of neons and a lot of animal prints. It's like a zoo. And the aisles and the racks are real close together. Big man can't get through them. I mean, I'm just like, dragging hangers all over the store. We'd be trying to get through everywhere. And you go over by the changing room, and you're just like, Lord Jesus, have mercy, God. And you're just everywhere, and daughters are dragging me all over the store, and I'm hot. It's 1,000 degrees. I'm hot. And finally, they get done. There's nowhere to sit down. And finally, they walk up. My wife says, look, we're done. We're going to go to the next store. You check out. Just hand me like 400 pieces of clothes. You check out, okay? Go get in line. There is 50,000 people in line, and you're going through like cattle gates. And as they go through these gates, they're shopping. There's like Justin Bieber eye patches and like lip gloss and like combs and scrunchies. And everybody's shopping as they go through the line. And I'm in line. I got a little small guy behind me. He's bumping me with his hangers. Everybody's trying to cut in line. And finally, I get to the place where you wait to a cash register opens. I'm a big guy, man. I'm blocking everybody. Like, there's a lot of people are cutting in line. And finally, one opens. This guy's bumping me. And I go put my stuff up there. He follows me up. I'm like, bro, you're supposed to stay at the gate. Back up off me. He's by me trying to hurry. And I laid my stuff up on the counter. I said, hey. And she said, how are you? I said, I'm good. Been at prayer meeting, believe it or not. Highlands, we pray. God bless you. And we settled for a moment, and I just looked at her. I said, well, how are you? And she didn't say anything. So she kept checking out. She's checking out, you know, like 800 items for like $16. I could have bought the whole place for $500, the whole store. Whole store, wrote one check. Finally, I said, are you okay? Are you good? And she looked at me, this precious little girl, this little daughter of somebody. She said, I've had the worst week of my life. Wow. Pastor, and I thought, what in the world made her tell a complete stranger her pain, her struggle? All I thought about is how deep is her brokenness? How broken is she? What is the wound? What is the pain? What is her suffering? What is her struggle? Could it be a relationship? Could it be a family deal? Could it be addiction? How painful is addiction? And I didn't try to preach a sermon. I didn't try to give her some one-liner. This guy's nudging me, and so I'm trying to check out, and he's nudging me, and finally I said, listen, I need to go, but I'm going to stand down here at the end of this little counter deal. I'm a big dude. You can't miss me. I'm going to pray a prayer for you. What is your first name? She told me, and I said, when you look down there, know I'm praying for you because God loves you, and he cares about you. I don't know what you're going through, but he does. And he's nudging me, and finally he says, he's praying for, he's praying for, like I'm taking time. I turn around and said, my man, give me some room. I will pray all over the store. I will shut down Forever 21. You don't know me. I'll go Medea all over this place. You don't know my name. Back up off me. Give me some space. Little guy's like, okay, amen. Pray. He's praying. I'm trying to bandstand. I'm trying to draw attention to nobody. People. People matter to God. God will use people to make us be what we need to be. Can I have an amen? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for how much you love people. You're making people. You select people that others will not select. You choose people that others would not choose. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord. Help us to be a church that will live our life in the way that you intended. Let Coastline become everything that it was meant to be. Lord, thank you. Lord, make us, shape us. I pray for those people that are in the middle season of their life right now. They're in a middle moment. In a middle moment. Oh, Lord, you're up to something. We're not forgotten. We are not forgotten. Maybe you're here today, and in a few minutes, Pastor Aaron is going to come and give you an opportunity to get connected to the church. But maybe you're here today and you feel far from God. Maybe you feel like that precious little girl of Forever 21. You just feel like, I've had the worst week of my life. I need a new beginning. I need a fresh start. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I would love to pray with you. I would love today that if you're here today and you say, Dino, I need a fresh start in my life. I need a fresh start today. I want to start the year off leaning in to Jesus. If that's you today, before I lead you in prayer, I'm gonna pray with us. I'm gonna lead us in a prayer. But if you're here today, you say, Dino, can you pray? When you pray, would you pray for me? Because I need a fresh start in my life. If that's you, would you just lift your hand all over this room? Thank you. I see dozens of hands going up. Fantastic. Thank you. You put that hand down. If you raised your hand and maybe you didn't, just right in your seat, just pray a prayer like this from your heart. You just pray it. Pray a prayer that sounds like this. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. God, give me a new beginning. I thank you for what you did on the cross. Today I believe you. I believe that you're Lord, and I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for a new beginning. Thank you for a fresh start. Let me become everything you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.